Good morning. My name is Richard Church. My role, for a few more weeks, is as Deputy General Secretary with a particular concern for discipleship. And I live in Streatham, southwest London, and I'm speaking to you from my home.
We meet in the name of God, the Holy Trinity of Love, who knows our needs, hears our cries, feels our pain, and heals our wounds. God is our light and our salvation. In God's name we light this candle. May it remind us of Jesus, the light of the world, God's own voice who came to live with us.
May our hearts be open to you, O God, now and always. Amen.
My strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, precious blood of Christ.
Here in the familiar place we come to you. Here in a familiar way we bring our prayers. Here in our time we want to meet with you, the Eternal One, and with the unseen company on earth and in heaven. Yet you, Lord, startle us with the fullness of your life, and the lengths to which you go in searching us out. We are poor disciples, yet we often pretend not to be. We come as part of a compromised and compromising society. Our warm worship words often conceal cold hearts. Our passion for justice stops short of our own doors. We have set out on your way, but have allowed ourselves to be diverted. We ask to be set right with you, and therefore with each other, in the name of Jesus who endured the cross to bring us back to life. Amen. Here is the good news. God knows us. God in Jesus offers a new beginning. God the Holy Spirit gives power from within to renew our walk with him in the confidence that we are loved. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Help us now to listen deeply. Deliver us from the echoes of our own prejudices. Release us from the routines of piety so that we can form new habits of faithfulness as we walk on with you. Amen.
Reading from Psalm 86, verses 1 to 10. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all day long. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call on you, for you will answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God.
St. Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 to 39. Jesus said, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it.
I wonder whether any of you have ever watched the repair shop on television. People bring much cherished objects in a poor state of repair to the shop, and a range of skilled craftsmen and women go to work on them and bring them back to their former glory. In a recent series, on one occasion, a large tin bus was brought. And when the work was done on it, the craftsman explained that he had decided not to conceal all the blemishes so as to keep some link between its past and its future. And when he handed it back, it looked very fine indeed. I wonder, as you listen to this, what objects in your life you might want to bring to the repair shack, if you have the chance. Can you think of something which means enough to you to bring something for refurbishment? How might you feel seeing how broken and spoilt your cherished item was when it's completely restored to be useful once more? And by the way, what do you think of the decision to allow something of that tin bus's blemishes to remain when the toy could easily have been restored to be as good as new? I think that when the writer of the psalm said in verse 1 of Psalm 86, "For you are great and do wondrous things, "You alone are God." He may well have been thinking about the work of God in renewing and repairing what had been broken. You may have noticed that the songwriter says, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy." In this sense, God is the court of final appeal. There is nowhere else to go. In fact, often the items brought to the repair shed are sometimes deemed by their owners to be almost beyond saving, and certainly this is their last hope of restoring their former glory. Jay Blades, the presenter of the repair shop, was homeless 4 years ago after his marriage broke down. Fortunately, he had someone who helped him get back on his feet by learning the skills to recycle old items of furniture. Of course, we're not concerned here simply with our possessions, however much sentimental value they may hold for us. The point is, Jay Blades' life was turned around by having someone that he called a guardian angel, someone who believed in him and helped him. It was an exercise in personal rescue. And I think here we're led into an aspect of Christ's redeeming work in his ministry on earth and culminating in the cross, a work which involved coming alongside people and restoring them to their full potential and purpose. As we hear, the psalmist put her or his whole trust in God's skill and understanding of the human condition, and the love which is always at work in the world to bring restoration and hope to what appears to be hopeless circumstances. We've spent the last few years emphasising walking the way, living the life of Jesus today. It's an attempt to put the identity of churches as communities of disciples back at the centre of our church's life. The church, relying on the grace which God gives, can be the repair shop for lives that have become tired, weary, broken down, perhaps even purposeless. Yet, as we're reminded in our reading from Matthew, there is a cost to this work. Jesus' words to us about the nature of the call to discipleship in our reading, if we're really honest, appear rather daunting. Did he really mean that a willingness to give up life itself is a precondition to finding the life God has made us for? Perhaps this was just rabbinic hyperbole. And what about those uncompromising words about Jesus bringing not peace but a sword? How do we live faithful to that call at a time when social cohesion is valued and peace building between nations is a common legacy? A common longing, I beg your pardon. In other words, was following Jesus intended to be as costly and divisive as this teaching appears to make it? I think that here we see Jesus managing the expectations of those who would follow him. And he does it in two ways. One way is a realism about what lies ahead. Whatever happens to the master happens to the apprentices. And the other is a constant refrain. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Don't fill your day with anxiety about what people might think of you. Don't fear the authorities. Their power is limited. Do not fear that your life counts for nothing, because it's not true. You are infinitely precious to God. Now, of course, how this call of Jesus sounds in a community that is already facing persecution is very different to how it might sound to most of us. For the persecuted church, secrecy about the gospel is less of an option. Division in families is much more probable. And therefore, it is with a thirst for assurance and comfort that the persecuted church has heard these words. Do not be afraid. You are worth many sparrows. Years ago, I remember being in Israel-Palestine listening to a Palestinian Christian woman speaking in the Sabeel Centre about the situation in which she and her people found themselves. Even at that time, the two-state solution seemed very unlikely. And yet when asked about it, she replied, she still had hope. And she looked at us and said, because we believe in a God of miracles. Now, this kind of hope has been castigated by some people. And yet it picks up this confidence that restoration and redemption are defining attributes of God. You are God and do wondrous things is a testimony in the intractable politics of the Middle East, just as it was for the songwriter. But as God does wondrous things, our response still remains part of that restoration project. Jesus reminds us that a disciple follows the master, not the other way around. So we have a tough, uncompromising challenge to be a grounded follower of Jesus. Everything will be laid bare. The gospel is irrepressible, and therefore our lives as bearers of the gospel will be marked by openness rather than reticence, trust in place of intimidation, and a willingness to publicise the ways of God in fresh and creative actions. This call to costly discipleship is issued so that the restoration project is fulfilled by people speaking out and living out courageously, losing their lives in order to find them, as Jesus put it. What does it look like? Well, we depend on people as signposts along the way of Christ. People like Corrie ten Boom, whose birthday was marked by the URC on the 15th of April, who hid Jews from the Nazis in the Second World War, and then spent the rest of her long life teaching on the role of prayer and the place of forgiveness, inspiring many believers along the way. Building hope, living a life of grace, speaking truth in uncomfortable situations, and most of all, believing that God is great and does wondrous things, can best be understood by watching, learning, and practicing what we see in the lives of others. Years ago, I remember wanting to make something for my wife. I found a gifted woodworker and went to him. He told me which wood to use and then showed me how to measure and draw and cut the joints. And then he left me to practice before letting me make the piece myself. In these confined times, the need for a social renovation project is ever more apparent. It's a time when the call to take tired old practices and refresh them, to learn from others new ways of remaining faithful to the call of Jesus, and to be creative in our encounters with others, online or in neighbour interactions, is ever more apparent. It might be appropriate for you to consider championing just one other person, and of course to be willing yourself to be encouraged and guided by others, just as Jay Blades found someone to mentor him and encourage him. The call to Jesus in all the interactions of our life was never more urgent. We do not do so in our own strength, but in trust that the one who said, I am making everything new, will shape our inconstant efforts to his own loving purposes. And so with the psalmist we pray, gladden the soul of your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Amen.
Oh,
the limitations of our reason and the revolts of our hearts, we believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ. Despite the centuries which separate us from the time when he came to earth, we believe in his word. Despite our incomprehension and our doubts, we believe in his resurrection. Despite his weakness and poverty, we believe in his reign. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Despite appearances, we believe he guides the church. Despite death, we believe in eternal life. Despite ignorance and disbelief, we believe that the kingdom of God is promised to all. Amen.
As our buildings are closed, our churches as communities of faith are open. As communities of disciples, we are aware of how freely we have received so many blessings, so we may freely give in money as well as in other ways to our local church, by either paying by direct bank transfer or by putting money aside for the time when we will be able to take ourselves as we gather once more as the church. Let us pray. We present ourselves to you now, blessed in so many ways. In gratitude, we pledge our time, our skills, and our money to your mission of renewing the world through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for our world. Come to us, Lord, renew and refresh us. Let us pray, remembering especially the work of the World Health Organization, countries who lack the resources to care for their populations. Come to us, Lord, renew and refresh us. Give thanks for artists and musicians and all who influence others. We pray for those suffering from depression and who cannot sense the beauty of life. Come to us, Lord, renew and refresh us. We pray this morning for those who restore lives by giving hope to people in the grip of addictions. May the streams of compassion never run dry within all offering care to others. Come to us, Lord, renew and refresh us. We pray for the church around the world. Challenged by our vocation to share the good news, often overwhelmed by the burden of administration, seeking to be a sign of hope whilst experiencing smaller congregations. Come to us, Lord, renew and refresh us. We draw our prayers to a close, using a prayer reminding us of Jesus the worker. O Christ, the master carpenter, who at the last, through wood and nails, purchased our whole salvation, wield well your tools in the workshop of your world, so that we who come rough-hewn to your workbench may be fashioned to a truer beauty by your hand. Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now may God, the Creator, Christ, the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit bless and equip you for your service in the world. Amen.